Let's look to the Word of God and ask Him to pour out His Spirit, pour out His anointing on us, and bless the uttermost is our prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to You in that name of Jesus, that only name under heaven's skies, wherein that a man can be saved. And we call to You, Lord, today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that God, that we might touch the hearts of those by the Word of God, that He might go out anointed, and they might receive a blessing, they might receive from the Word of God. And Lord, we thank You and praise You. And God, You're going to turn lives around, You're going to save souls, and Lord, You're going to bless in every effort and everything that's done. For Your word will not return void, but it's accomplishing those things You have chosen for it to do. And we'll praise You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. There's some precious promises in the Word of God. And the Bible says that we are heirs to that promises. And I want to minister for a few moments today on the thought of heirs of the promise. The Word of God is real, real specific in this promise. It started all the way over in the Old Testament. I heard Sandy mention it in the singing this morning about the promise that which was made to Abraham. And let's go to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and just we're going to pick up right here in this section of Scripture and a little bit of understanding there. Here we find a man that God had made a promise to, and he had been given a commission to do. I think it's very important to carry out the things that God has for us to do as children of God. All the blessings and the promises is given according to the Word of God to the obedient. So we have to choose today, were we going to be obedient or disobedient? I choose to accept what God has willed to me, and I choose to be obedient to receive what therein God has so willed to me. And I hope that your prayer would be the same. Now, Abraham was given a commission to go and to sacrifice his son Isaac. And I like something the man of God, I heard him say just in the past week. He said, you know, God did not say, through thy seed Ishmael, this will happen. This is through the seed Isaac, this shall happen. Now then, here a promise was made. And he explained how that, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, my God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now he had told the men with them to stay back and watch the animals because we're going to go, me and my son, and we're going to make the sacrifice and we shall return. This is an act and a commitment of faith. He was going to be obedient. And we have to read all the way through to the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we find out that his conviction was that God had promised, that God told him through the son Isaac all the seed would come, and if God told him to sacrifice him, then he must sacrifice him, but God would have to raise him up. So he was secure in God. How many know today we're secure in God? You're secure in the promise of God. There's a safety in the promise of God. There's a security in the promise of God. We can be restless. And we can go to the Word of God and read the Word, and it'll calm the storm. Jesus is still the haven of rest. He is still the one that says to the storm, peace be still. And when we focus on the Word of God, we focus on the promises of God. I had a promise of something 2 years ago, and I was going back to the Lord, and I said, Lord, let me look at this. Is there a time limit on this? And God said explicitly, there is a time limit. And I read on to what the Lord had given and spoke to me, and he absolutely put a time on it. I would know that I was to remain and what he had told me to do until that mountain became a gold mine. And I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. Abraham had an absolute from God. Go sacrifice the son. God wanted to see if he was willing. God wants to see today if you are willing. And if you're willing, the windows of heaven will be open to you according to the promises of God. Now then, the word tells us as we go on and look in verse 17 of that 22nd chapter of Genesis, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands upon the seashore. You notice why the angel of the Lord had spoke this back in verse 15. And the angel of the Lord said unto Abraham, out of the heavens the second time, and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thou son, thou only son. Then verse 17, as we begin to read the promise that he had put upon him. And he said, and thou seed shall possess the gate of thou enemy. Now we're watching Israel being encamped about. We're watching Israel being fought from every side. We're watching America slowly change our attitude, and to the point that we have statements being made against Israel and people commanding them to get out for the land that God has promised them. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells me that every nation that comes against Israel will be broken in pieces. That's absolute. He said every nation that comes against Israel will be broken in pieces. I made up my mind a long time which side I'm on. I'm on the sheep side. I'm not going with the goat nations. I'm going with the sheep nations. I'm going with the ones that stands for God and stands for Israel. And he said, because thou was willing to sacrifice this only son, then this I am going to do. And I'm glad he said, we shall possess the gates of our enemy. And thou seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. And then we go on to the New Testament and we begin to look at the promises that God made. Here he made to Abraham in the 4th chapter of Romans. And God said it again, for what said the scriptures? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We go on over in the 13th verse of that same 4th chapter. For the promise that he should be the heirs of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, amen, but the word says through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. This thing wasn't just by the law. It wasn't the promise just by the law. It's by righteousness through faith. For if they which are the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. I'm glad today that it's by faith, and it's by righteousness, and it's not of our own actions, but it's of the actions of God. The Bible said it was not by the traditions of men, but it was by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And by that precious blood, this promise is extended. Not just by the law. If we read it just in the law today, then someone could say that's not for you and I. But God said it's not just by the law. It's by righteousness. It's by grace. It's by faith. So now God has, by the sealing, by the sealing of this thing by the blood of his own son. He asked Abraham to sacrifice a son. And Abraham being willing to be obedient, but see, Isaac was not the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the Omnipotent God, was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. And on the day of Calvary's cross, he was to give his life to pay for the promise wherein that God had made. See, the blood had to be shed for the promise to be moved forth over into grace, into righteousness. If the Lamb of God had not come forth, if Jesus had not been crucified, all the promises of the Old Testament would have died. But thank God, because he was able to fulfill the prophecies of the old, he by grace brought you and I into this marvelous relationship wherein now we're heirs of the promises of God. Don't mess with a child of God, plain to say. Don't mess with Israel, and don't mess with a child of God. Because God's going to break you into pieces if you mess with his children. What did he say? It'd be better a millstone be hung around your neck and you cast in the sea than you to put a little finger on one of his children. Now, God gets serious in his word. I know we preach him, and a lot of people preach him all a love, such a love God. One lady told me God couldn't send nobody to hell because he's a God of love. She didn't read the book right. She must have had it upside down, or she had it upright and she was standing on her head one way or the other. She did not get it right. Because God, amen, according to the word of God, fulfilled what he said. And he bought for you the promise, but also in that promise to the disobedient, there's a price they're going to have to pay. And it don't just stop there. Let's move on as we look in the word of God in Romans, the 8th chapter. And I don't know about you, but I love the 8th chapter of Romans. I love Paul's writing, and I love the 8th chapter. It seemed like to me it's a meat chapter. It's just full of meat. It's just full of things that we need to know. It's just full of things that equips us for the battle. It's just positive. That's what you got to say. The Bible says in verse 14 of Romans 8, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." If we understand this verse, we've not received a spirit of fear. The Bible said, love, power, and sound mind. Why? Because the blood that was shed, the grace that made it possible for us to inherit that which God promised to Abraham through Isaac, that which God had promised that day, now we have been made heirs of it, and we've made joint heirs of it, and now we have the promise, and in that promise, this is the reason we don't have to fear, because we possess the gates of our enemy. Satan, you can't do but so much against me because I control the gate. Satan, you can ram and beat and kick and stomp, but you can't stomp but so much because I possess the gate. Amen. Glory to God. You can put up with the devil if you want to, but you don't have to. But you be like the seven sons of Sceva. You know, you go out and try to use a name that you don't possess. But if you possess the right to use the name of Jesus and to plead the blood, then the enemy has to stop. Because he can't overtake you. He can't overcome you. He can't win. He can't whip you. Thank God, goody, 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 goody devil. We can hide behind the blood and just jump up and down and holler, goody, 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 good devil. Because we're protected because of that promise. The word goes on to say, in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Mm-mm. Now, we didn't bear a witness to know that we are the children of God. We got a witness in our spirit. The preaching of this thing is for us. It's not just for somebody back on a mountain back in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. It wasn't just for Isaac. It wasn't just for Abraham. It wasn't just for those men that went to take care of the animals that day. But it's for us. As a good old Kentucky boy would say, it's for wins. It's ours. Glory to God. Verse 17, here it is. And if children, if we are a child of God, if we have been born again, listen to me, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us. Getting the best battle you can get in and winning is going to feel better. Glory to God. Get in the best stomp down knockout battle with the devil, and God said it don't even compare to what I'm going to reveal to you by the fullness of my promise. Because you're a child of God, you're a joint heir, you're an heir to all the promises of God. If you ever want to take the Bible and start down a good study, study out all the promises of God. We're just touching on the very tip of the subject. But study out all the promises of God. Healing, there's victory, there's sanctification, there's filling of the Spirit, there's redemption, there's salvation. It's endless. Of you wouldn't even have to order, you could preach a year's revival, not even have to order a gold nugget sermon outline book. You'd have it all right there. By the time you get through preaching all that connects to the promises of God, it would literally take you a year's worth of messages to even scratch the surfaces. God promise. Now then, over further on in a little book that if we don't watch out, we just plumb skip over. It don't have but three chapters, and it's real easy to skip it, but it's got some meat in it and got some things we don't look at. In Titus, the 3rd chapter and verse 7. Now it says, let's back up and catch 5 and 6 to get us understanding. Nor by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now verse 7, that being justified by him, being justified by his grace, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We just get more and more of the promises. More and more of the promises. We have the eternal life that we're made heirs according to this promise that was made. Then if we step just a little further over into Hebrews, and in the 1st chapter and in verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God said, not only do we possess the gates of our enemy, but I got angels that's going to come and minister to you. All those that are heirs of this promise, all those are heirs of salvation, I'm going to send angels to minister to you. I'm going to send angels to take care of you. What's that song that girl sings? I got a sky, there's a sky full of angels watching over me. There is literally a sky full of angels watching over me. And the devil, why, yeah, the devil, he comes like a roaring lion. But I'm telling you something, God has angels, and those angels are powerful. If I understand, you know, God had three major archangels. Lucifer, he rebelled. God throwed him and a third of the angelical host out because they chose to rebel. Then Gabriel is going to sound the trumpet that's going to call all the righteous forth. And then Michael, God's going to give him the right to take a chain and to bind old Satan. Now, Satan may have legions and legions of demons. And a lot of time I say he sent a whole passel load, legion after legion, over here to Hillsville to try to stop what we're doing. But I read the sum total of the book. And when I get to the depth of this thing, I find out, don't matter how many legions of demons he's seeing, God just took one angel and bound him. And we're heirs to all that promise. We're heirs to all that authority. So get over the molly grubs, get up out of the rut, climb up on the mountain and shout to victory. Because we're heirs of the promise of God. And this is serious. This is serious. But see, we got to believe it. All the promises of God is to those that believe. Let's go on. Hope time will give us time to finish today. The Bible says in Hebrews in the 6th chapter and in verse 17, covering a couple verses here, wherewith God willing more abundant to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutable, and his counsel confirmed it by a oath. Now then, the two things in communion, in other words, two things you can't dispute, in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God can't lie. God keeps his word. This promise has been made to us. Verse 19 says, with hope we have an anchor of the soul, both secure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now then, the veil has been rent. This thing has been transferred from the law to the children of grace. And we're heirs of that. And we have received the promise from God. And God cannot lie, and his word is forever settled. So we are hedged in. Thank God. Our part is we got to keep believing. We got to keep professing, and we got to keep possessing. And if we keep doing those things, we're going to win this race. He that endureth the end, the same shall be saved. Hebrews the 11th chapter and in verse 7. Right after the powerful verse, which it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. For by Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obey, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, and Isaac, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham was granted this by faith and by obedience. And it'll take no less for you and I. We will have to have faith in the plan of God. We will have to have faith in the promise of God. And your faith will determine how much of the promise that you receive. Then if we go over in 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter, and let's go to verse 7. This kind of touches off on another subject here, but I want to read this verse 7 to set the understanding for the verses that follow. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, give honor unto the wives as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God simply says to the man, if you don't walk where you're supposed to with your wife, and you don't give honor to her as you should, your prayers are going to be hindered. So we're joint heirs together with God, with Christ, and with our companions. Verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having passed one another love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Verse 9 says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, in other words, you're to bless, knowing that ye are there unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and seek good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak not guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayers. But the faith of the Lord is against them that do evil. All these blessings are for the children of God. We need to eschew evil. We need to turn to God. We need to receive the promise he has for us. God bless you. Let us pray together. Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you this hour, this moment, reach out to those that are suffering and hurting. Let them receive the promises that you have given to him through faith. And God, we ask you, Lord, as we today are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and heirs to the blessing of Abraham through Isaac. God, we thank you, Lord, that we possess the gates of our enemies today, and we have victory through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God love you, and God bless you.